Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's 11 o'clock on Friday night, and I welcome you to the Blog Talk Show over Andrew Shatkin. I usually speak at 8 o'clock, but I was busy tonight, and there are various times this show is heard, but it's heard 7 days a week, either at 6:30, 8 o'clock, 9:30, or 10 or 11. It's on the button for everyone to hear the facts and the truth and not the lies. This show is not concerned with the big lie. The big lie is what George Orwell saw through in 1984, and he called it a newspeak, he called it propaganda, and Ray Bradbury saw it in Fahrenheit 451, where people wanted to burn books. These were people who foresaw societal developments which were surrounded people by what I call the big lie. The big lie is the propaganda that the media forces on people. It is the big lie, and I wish nothing to do with it. And I'll talk more about this, but let me tell you a little about the parameters of this show. I have a great interest in literature, Russian, French, German, American, English, and I love great books such as Milton's Paradise Lost, where he saw the fall of man into sin as a critical event in human history. He was right, obviously. There have been 6 genocides in the past 100 years, which hundreds of millions of people have been killed. Therefore, Milton was right about the province of sin coming into the world in the second chapter of Genesis. Hello? Denworth, right now I'm doing a radio program. If you want to, you can call me tomorrow, okay? Please, I do answer the phone just like I answered it now. Right, Bob? Would like to tell you that I'm very enamored of literature in every way. It's important. And I'm concerned with Christian belief and the primacy of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And I'm concerned with the primacy of Holy Scripture and the creeds of the Church, which I follow with out doubt. And so the second thing is that I am a politically active person, a conservative, but I do believe in following Christ and the matter of concern for the underclass and poor people. That's kind of the parameters of this show, and let me tell you a little bit about myself. I am a This is a politically incorrect show. We don't go in for political correctness. We don't believe in media lies. We don't believe in media falsehoods. We don't believe in the big lie. Those are things we don't endorse in this show. We believe in truth and honesty and honest discernment and intellectual honesty. And so that's about it on this. I think you should know that my position is political incorrectness. We don't believe in media lies, media falsehoods. We believe in honesty and truth and arriving at truth by critical thinking. Now, I'd like to tell you the second parameter of my life on this matter, which is I'm a Christian, and I'm not about to change that position. Always I adhere to it. I adhere to the Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And I also adhere to the creeds of the Church, Athanasian, Apostles, and Nicene Creed. These are things I adhere to and believe in. And I also believe in the great Christian writers, such as Augustine and St. Paul, epistles, and Dante and Milton and G.K. Chesterton. and T.S. Eliot, these are all the great people that guide me and that I love dearly. I'd also want to talk to you that I run two radio shows, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show. And these shows are Christian-oriented in every way. I have many, many hundreds of visitors from all over the world on these shows. Whether they're Christians or not, I welcome them. I welcome everyone because Jesus died and loves every person that has ever lived. I welcome all faiths. I welcome all races. I welcome everyone on these shows. And many, many of my dear Muslim friends do visit these shows and listen to my Christian broadcast. I have a friend in Iran, a philosophy student, who I'm very friendly with, who is also was very attracted to my Christian books. So I've had over 4,300 visitors to the podcast show, and even visitors from many Muslim countries, including Saudi Arabia, to the blog talk show. So I welcome all, and of course, although I'm a Christian, I see the face and love of Jesus in every race, every person, everywhere, in any place that you can find. Next, I would ask you to also listen to me about I'm a writer. I've written 10 books, Christian books and legal books, 2 books, Select Legal Topics, Volumes 1 and 2, and Christian books such as Essays in a Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, and a book on the parables. The book on the parables, to me, was a joy to write because the parables are the mind and thoughts of God Almighty as he revealed himself in Christ. And so I have to say that the parables are very important, and I urge you, ladies and gentlemen, to read the parables found in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I would ask you to consider reading these parables as the mind and thoughts and guides that Christ provides us in the Gospels. I wrote this book on parables because I reflected on my ideas in the parables, and I would hope you would find the book of value. I've also recently written a book on interpreting all 150 Psalms. These Psalms are wonderful. They are Jewish lyric poetry. They are Hebrew lyric poetry. They're fantastic. If you haven't read the Psalms, you haven't lived. The Psalms have been termed by John Donne, the great Anglican poet and pastor and poet, as the manna of the church. The Psalms are spiritual inspiration as well as a literary treasure. As I say this once, that you will be challenged by reading the Psalms and love them. And even though they're translated into different languages, including English, their greatness comes across. And I ask you, what we would more tire of War and Peace in translation and Crime and Punishment than the Psalms. So that's about it for that. Next, I've written other books. I'm writing a book on my four blogs, literary, philosophical, theological, etc. I'm writing 4 books, and I also am writing a book on the miracles in the Bible, and the book on the Psalms are literary, philosophical, theological, and political, and have to do with current events. I do hope you will enjoy these 4 books when they're published. I also ask you to consider that I'm writing on the miracles in the Bible, and I'm writing eventually a treatise on the book of Job. Job is a Edomite. He was not Jewish, but he made it into the Hebrew canon. And Job has to do with God trying Job, and et cetera. I would like you to think about the other books I have written, which are a chapter on New York jurisprudence on criminal law, legal encyclopedia, a book called Res Gestae on evidence and Bender's evidence, and I've written a book on family law with a chapter on paternity, a family law book edited by Merrill Sobey, a professor in Pace University, as well as published by West. And it's had quite a lot wide circulation. And I hope that you will give some thought to what I say. And let me say this tonight. I've written three law review articles. A Syracuse Law Review on criminal procedure. It's been bought by the State Department and by the United States Supreme Court and many other universities throughout the world. I also have written a book on sexual orientation, an article on Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal, and that article has also been bought by the State Department and many universities throughout the world in North America, South America, Africa, and Asia. I also have written an article on United States educational system and its deficits. This is also on Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal, and this has been put by the State Department and many other universities throughout the world. Now tonight I'm going to consider the matter of communism and Christianity. Now many people, first of all, communism has a basis called dialectical materialism, and therefore there is a little bit of a conflict between Christian belief and Marxism. But I think that Marx was driving in his thinking to a Christian perspective. But most countries today have adopted the capitalist model. Of course, capitalism has its problems. It has to do with greed and money and people getting things for themselves. It has a selfishness connected with it. But communism has sort of been overcome by capitalism. And the only outposts left of communism are North Korea and Cuba. Capitalism as a problem has evolved as based on greed and competition in a free market. The idea behind it is that if people are given some sort of equal starting point, the society will benefit by job creation. Now, I want to talk about communism and how it may resemble and be similar to the Christian perspective. Marx and Engels, in their writings, address the abuses in industrial revolution of the working class. And these abuses included child labor, use of sweatshop labor, and Marx proposed a number of ideas and concepts which I think are good. He eliminates class divisions, which capitalism encouraged. These class divisions are falsely based on people having greater wealth than others. And I think it's faintly ridiculous to refer to a person who has greater wealth in a society as upper class, since the having of wealth has no significance in itself. But I think class division, I think Jesus doesn't want classes. I think he wants a society where there's an equal distribution of wealth and where class doesn't rule the roost. Jesus does not make wealth as significant. It's noteworthy that he chose as his disciples tradesmen, fishermen, not people of wealth or education, and a tax collector, again, not a person of wealth. And many of his followers were so-called sinners and not people of wealth. So Jesus was not concerned with wealth or education or class division. And therefore, Jesus would agree with Marx in wanting a society without classes and wanting a society with an equal distribution of income. Marxism also seeks to provide some sort of universal employment and health care and free education and eliminate income inequality, allowing people of talent and merit the possibility of obtaining positions that the capitalist system might bar them because of their lack of wealth. So Marxism had some good points which resembled Christian belief. He wants to eliminate income divisions. He wants an equal distribution of wealth. He wants to eliminate class divisions based on wealth. In that sense, he sort of is a way of sort of following the Christian perspective. He wants free education, employment for all, and free health care, and to eliminate income inequality. These are good things, and I think these are Christian concepts. So Marx, even though he was a materialist, had some Christian ideas in his thinking. And he didn't want a society controlled by the wealth or aristocracy, but by the workers. And so I think Jesus also wanted a society of equality, of equal thought equality, intellectual equality. Unfortunately, Marxism went wrong somewhere in such countries as Russia, China, Cuba, and North Korea. It resulted in a kind of violent, totalitarian state or dictatorship. So in some, Marx's ideas still have value, and they're close to Christian ideas. At least they should be considered as such by thinking people. The elimination of classes is a good thing because Jesus wants people an equal distribution of wealth, and class status is based on money. I don't think Christianity endorses that. Also, Jesus wants income inequality eliminated, and the redistribution of wealth is a good thing. So Jesus, the Christianity, which Jesus, I think, would agree with Marx to eliminate classes and income inequality and distribute wealth equally. So these things are good things. And Marxism and communism, in some sense, has distinct resemblances to Christian thinking in eliminating classes, not wanting classes, and in not wanting income inequality, in wanting health care and free education and full employment for all. These are good things, and these are the ideas that Jesus, I think, endorsed implicitly or exactly. I don't know where Marx or Marxism went wrong, but it went, and at the present time, but I can't say why it became a totalitarian, violent system. I can't say, but the original ideas that Marx had to eliminate classes and eliminate income inequality and provide full employment, free health care, and allow people of talent to obtain positions, those things are good. And Marx had some good ideas that we were kind of a understanding of Christian belief in a secular form. The capitalist system, of course, on the other hand, has evolved into a sort of totalitarian state in which the wealthy elite rule and the vast majority of the population toil to survive. I can't give a solution to the present difficulties in the capitalist system, but I think it should be reexamined in the light of the ideas of Marxism and socialism. I don't want to wish a totalitarian state, which has developed Marxist society has developed to, but I do believe that capitalist systems should be reexamined in light of the concepts of communism. And moreover, I think that the concept I have presented about communism resembles a Christian perspective. I think Marx was moving in that direction. I think that's what he wanted. I think it's what he felt was good. And I think that communism, in its ideal form, sought an equal distribution of wealth and the elimination of classes and full employment and full health care and free education. These are all good things. These are Christian ideas. They are ideas that Jesus, I know, would endorse and that he believed in. So I think that Marxism had a Christian emphasis, that Marx was moving in that direction. Where it went wrong, I don't know. but he simply had that point of view. Except he parted ways from the Christian concept in endorsing materialism, which Christianity does not endorse. With that exception, Marx was moving into a Christian perspective. I hope you've enjoyed this talk tonight, and I'll be speaking again on Saturday and Sunday about Christianity, why I'm a Christian, and about relationships and alienation, which I speak to books about the other night. I'm going to go into these more on Saturday and Sunday. Thank you.